listeners, you may have seen photos or TV coverage of SUNY Upstate's graduation last weekend. They say a picture speaks 1,000 words, but sometimes I think pictures actually miss even more words. This morning, I'm going to prove that to you. Among the smiling faces at graduation was the young man who sits in front of me this morning. Let me introduce you to Dr. Greggy LaRoche. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you very much.
I've got to think I'm among the first who is addressing you formally that
way.
You are. Does it sound good to you?
It sounds excellent to me.
You've certainly earned it. And you know, I make it a habit to speak to doctors respectfully and call them by their titles. I'm going to do the same for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I have some numbers here. I understand you were among 154 graduates who received MDs.
Yes.
And almost 250 additional students who earned combination degrees of MD and PhD, or they graduated from the College of Nursing or from the College of Health Professions. And you all must have had big smiles on your faces.
We definitely did.
You did. Okay. Did you always want to be a doctor?
I think not really. When I was younger, I wanted actually to be an NBA basketball player.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. When did you change your mind on that?
I think during high school, when I was trying out for the high school team, I decided that all these taller players are much better than me, so I don't think I'll be able to make it.
Ah, okay. And now, wait. So you went from thinking you'd be an NBA player to thinking you'd be a doctor?
Yeah, because I figured when I was younger, one of my teachers asked me, what did I want to be when I grew up? And I said, NBA basketball player. And they said, what about after that? And I was thinking, there's nothing after that.
Times have changed.
Exactly. So then I was like, maybe a backup plan might be a doctor after basketball, though.
There you go. But then you went to Cornell for undergraduate.
Yes.
And you stayed there for 4 years. But
yep.
Then you had other experiences.
Yes. After I went to Cornell, I did one-year post-bac program at Duquesne University.
Post-bac meaning post-baccalaureate.
Yes, exactly. Right? Exactly. I wanted to make myself more competitive to make sure I get into medical school the first time I applied.
Very good. So you got into SUNY Upstate.
Yes.
But you didn't just rest on your laurels getting into medical school. My gosh, I read your resume, and my first question is, did you sleep?
I did a little bit of sleeping.
A little bit of sleeping. But yeah. Talk about some of the other things you did. You traveled and you played sports. Talk to us about
that.
Yeah.
As soon as I came in, I have a love for basketball, so I always wanted to continue doing that. So I played intramural sports here on campus. Also, I volunteer at different places on campus. There's the Pete's Relief, which...
Pediatrics.
Pediatrics. Mm-hmm. So basically, you go to the hospital where parents are with their child, and then you can let the parents have a little relief from staying in the hospital as
right.
you play with the kids and stuff like that.
It's fabulous. And you traveled. You worked in some clinics in other countries.
Yes, I did go to Bolivia in South America for a little while, just going to the clinics and learning from them as well.
And in your spare time, you were class president for 4 years.
Yes, I was.
That's why I'm asking you if you slept. All right. Well, one of the stories that I love is about a course that you took your
yes.
first year in medical school. Speak
yes.
to us, because it had a big influence on your choices, didn't it?
It definitely did. This was the miracle elective that I did. I decided to do it. As soon as I heard about it, I knew I wanted to do it.
Miracle elective.
Yes. And basically what it entails is that students will follow, will be with a mother who's pregnant and will be delivering her baby maybe in about a year or so. So
uh-huh.
we get to be with her, go to her with her to her appointments and share these great moments with her as well. And then the baby is born at the end of our first year. And then we actually stay with the baby and the mom and the parents for another year. So that was mainly the pediatric side that I wanted to get
so
to.
Through checkups?
Yes,
and
exactly.
you get to know the baby.
Exactly.
And you get to hold the baby.
And then we have at the end of the year, first year birthday for all the families.
You do. And what was your baby's first name?
Her name was Zora.
Zora.
Yes.
Very good. So Zora must be 3 or 4 years old now.
Yep, definitely.
Oh, that's fabulous. All right. So you've decided you want to go into pediatrics. So you finished medical school. What happens next?
So currently I will be going to Wake Forest University pediatric residency program down in North Carolina.
In North Carolina.
Yes.
And what do you hope to learn? Are there aspects of pediatrics, or do you want to be a general pediatrician?
As of right now, I'm thinking I want to subspecialize in possibly gastroenterology.
Really?
Yeah.
And what kinds of things will you take care of for babies?
Basically,
for children.
Yeah, anything going from the mouth to the rear end part, and
yeah.
it's just inside the body. It just fascinates me. When I did an elective here during my fourth year, with the doctors here, Dr. Begg and Dr. Karju, and I just had a great time with them, and I feel like I really want to do that.
Well, you know, it strikes me that that has got to be something that's so necessary. One of the conversations we've had here previously is about metabolic diseases. Mm-hmm. You would get involved in all those kinds of things.
Definitely.
And what kinds of improvements can you make for children who have those problems?
It feels that a couple of things. Number one is also finding out what's going on, because by the time they get to the gastroenterologist, like, no one knows what's going on. It's been going on for a long time. And finally, you get to the position where someone knows very specifically about what's going on, might know what's going on.
With the child.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so what? They've either gained a lot of weight, or maybe they lost a lot
of
weight.
Exactly. It could be either way. And so they're just going through lots of pain, and no one knows what's going on. Initially, it usually begins where they think the baby is, or the young kid is faking it. But then after a while, you see that it's getting much worse, and that's when they send them to the gastroenterologist.
And you can make a huge difference in their lives.
Exactly. I was in the doctor's office one time when Dr. Begg was in the doctor's office with another patient, and the patient goes, like, are you going to tell Greggy here, the medical student at the time, how you saved my baby's life?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
so, and that was huge to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Where do you hope to end up? Do you hope to go back home? You're from Long Island?
Yeah, I'm from Long Island, but my parents actually moved 2 years ago down to Florida.
They did.
Yeah, so I don't have a home on Long Island. So I'm not sure where I want to go for in the future.
Well, you know, maybe we'll get you to come back here to Syracuse.
Maybe. It's still a possibility.
That would be so great.
Especially with the new children's hospital.
Absolutely true. Well,
yes.
Dr. Greggy LaRoche, you are the future of medicine. We are so appreciative of you coming by, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. It was very good to be here.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's checkup from the neck up. The wonder drugs you've never heard of, or medicine at its truly best. How much time do you spend working to pay for your meds and doctor visits? What if you could get a couple of drugs that would make you happier, smarter, improve your sex life, help you hold on to your marbles as you get older, give you more energy, make you skinnier, make you live longer, reduce your chance of going into a nursing home, let you eat more, maybe stop a couple of other meds you take? And what if there were no side effects? And you could take a little or a lot and never have to worry about taking the wrong amount? What if you didn't even have to find out the generic names or figure out how to say the bloody things? What if you didn't need a prescription, didn't even have to go to the pharmacy to get them? What if they were free? How much would you be willing to do to get them? How far would you walk to get them? How long would you work to get them? What if you could make them yourself? Sounds like the Fountain of Youth, right? Too good to be true? What are they called? Sorry. I don't know. I don't know if anybody does or knows how they really work. But the fact is, you're already making them. And if you make a bit more, all of those what-ifs above could come true for you. They're the chemicals your body makes whenever you get it moving. Like Bruce Springsteen says, we were born to run, or walk, or swim, or dance, or bike, or play tennis, or skate, or ski, or garden, or whatever you like to get your body gyrating. So here's the fork in the road. Next time we're about to pick up the remote control, let's ask ourselves, did I make my medicine today? See you in the park, or gym, or pool. I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.